I'm very happy now to welcome back to the show Eric Maddox. He's founder and director of the Virtual Dinner Guest Project, which you can find on Facebook. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again.
So we've had you on a number of times, and each time there's something ever more interesting and exciting happening. Now, next week, Saturday the 21st of January, there's a dinner going on at the Zane Bennett Contemporary Art Gallery, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But for those who've never heard of this project, what's it all about?
In a nutshell, it's connecting people around the world at their dinner tables using Skype and the concept of a shared meal to promote intercultural communication, media literacy, and conflict resolution.
And so you basically have dinner. You're having dinner in Santa Fe along with some people whom you've invited, and they're having dinner in Pakistan or Ciudad Juarez or wherever, and you're literally sharing dinner together.
Yeah, we're breaking bread together. And if it's in Karachi, well, there's a 12-hour time difference, so they're going to be having an early breakfast.
Oh, right.
The next day. And, yeah, we kind of had to decide who was going to have to take the hit on that one.
Yeah, who's having dinner and who's having breakfast.
Who's getting up early, in their case, on a Sunday. So, yeah, I mean, barring time difference, we're not necessarily sharing dinner, but we're sharing a meal together. And the concept to me is simple. Let's use the world's oldest and most universal social forum, the dinner table, to promote dialogue, especially between countries where there might be some animosity, misunderstanding, or just underrepresentation in the U.S. media.
And once that happens, and everybody who's ever made a friend from a new country that they didn't know anything about before knows that once you have a friend from some new country, you can't make dumb generalizations about that country anymore in quite the same way.
You're a little bit more emotionally and intellectually invested in the outcomes of the people that live in that part of the world, I think, once you've broken bread with them, once you've looked someone in the eyes, shared an intimate human encounter. And I think sharing a meal together is pretty universal.
Now, this is something you've done several of them, and we've had you on to talk about them on this radio program. This concept of yours is catching fire. You've brought it to universities all around, not only in the United States, but abroad as well. What's happening?
Well, I hope it catches fire. What I have right now are some agreements with, I'd say, about a dozen U.S. universities and then some universities abroad to integrate one or more of these dinners into their course curricula for the spring semester.
That means students make their virtual dinner project with somebody in another country?
Yes, and the somebody in another country will be me in this case. I'll be moderating the conversation, facilitating the conversation actually from abroad this time. And so my counterpart stateside will be those university professors guiding their students and helping to moderate, facilitate the conversation as well from those students from the campus of each of those universities.
And where will you be?
I'm going to be on the road. So first point will be Beirut points in and around.
So you'll get a bunch of people from Lebanon to have dinner with these students at...
Absolutely. And Cairo is on the list as well. And then funding permitting, I'll be hitting Tunis as well. And if I can get in, they don't issue tourist visas right now, but I'm going to see what I can do. Try to get into Libya as well.
Ah, amazing. So let's talk about the dinner that is happening, which is breakfast in Pakistan, on the 21st of January. Who are going to be on the other end?
So the Pakistanis, to be clear, they'll be the ones having breakfast.
Yeah.
We'll be having dinner. And they are... I was connected with them through kind of the humanitarian equivalent of Facebook. It's called itsonehumanity.org. Should check into it. And they run their own nonprofit out of Karachi, Pakistan. It's called Talim. And I met them through the founder of this humanitarian social network while I was pitching my idea in its kind of infancy. It's still kind of in its infancy, but back in April. And they're just a group of guys that are doing what they can to promote like cultural education in their own community context. And they're bringing some people to the table with them. And we're going to be discussing, well, I don't shy away from the nitty-gritty. Like, the point is, if we're going to take the trouble to sit down and have a conversation with people from a country where we have some strained relations, let's talk about the real stuff. So we'll be talking about the bombing campaign that's been going on in northern Pakistan for some time now, Western attitudes about Islam, the role of women in Islamic society, specifically in Pakistan, All kind of the issues that some people might want to avoid at a dinner party or in mixed company.
And are these ordinary people families, or these professors, or who are they actually?
Young guys are the ones that are putting it together on the other end. And I mean, I don't know all the dinner participants yet. That's just kind of the way this thing goes. Sometimes you get a chance to talk to people for months at a stretch beforehand. Sometimes it's just, you know, a couple of the principals, and then they're bringing their friends. And that's kind of what this one's going to look like. I'm hoping that we'll have, like, kind of equal gender representation. That is important to me. But really, there's some social things to be concerned about as well that might not necessarily be realistic, at least for a first meeting. We'll see.
What do you mean?
Whether or not they'll be able to be mixed gender on the other end of the table.
Okay.
Just because of cultural restrictions in Pakistan.
Well, Pakistan, as we learned from Aisha Khan's film, Made in Pakistan, has places like Lahore, Pakistan, which is where her film took place, where there is a thriving middle class, which behaves very much like us. And it's one of the, what was it? It's one of the top 10 English-speaking nations in the world. And so there are, I think, a lot more commonalities than people think.
I agree. And my film actually screened with hers a couple of years ago at the film festival. And yes, absolutely. The group that I'm dealing with, this is something that they've underscored as a concern for them. So I kind of have to follow their lead. And you're right, you can find people that where it wouldn't even be a secondary consideration. But that being said, we'll see. We'll see who actually comes to the table. It's going to at least be one of these principal contacts I've been speaking with for a few months. A young guy, like, I'm guessing like mid-20s, founder of his own nonprofit. And we made sure that there was nothing that we had to leave off the table. We can talk about whatever we want.
So that's on the 21st of January at 7:30 at Zane Bennett Contemporary Art Gallery here in Santa Fe. And this is also a fundraising event for this trip that you're talking about.
That's right. So this is kind of one of those situations in life where you just kind of have to, when you see the Berlin Wall falling, you don't wait until the last bricks hit the ground and you've got like a, and you're financially solvent to go. You just recognize this is like a historic moment and you do what it takes to get there. And the way things are going in Syria right now, this is, I'm being strategic about where I'm going. I'm going to Beirut because it's where a lot of Syrian refugees are pouring into right now, points in and around. So I want access to that community as well. And this is a moment where we need to be creating critical points of contact between the next generation of policymakers and educators in the U.S., specifically in the area of Middle East relations and studies, and the actual voices on the ground. There have been so many missed opportunities for meaningful dialogue with that part of the world. We've been speaking to autocrats, more or less, on a policy level for so long. I want to seize the moment, and I'm buying a one-way ticket.
And what's your role there? I mean, you're a filmmaker. Are you going to be making a documentary?
Amongst other things, I plan on doing some print journalism, plan on filming whatever I come across, doing some photography as well. But the principal motivation is to be there to facilitate these conversations, and then I'm sure I will meet some interesting characters and find some opportunities along the way.
Are these virtual dinner parties being taped on Skype? In other words, once they're done, are they available to be seen?
Great question. And yes, and more so. So we're actually recording the Skype content itself. In addition to that, we record the pre and post interviews with each of the principal subjects so that we can kind of chart the progression of like their attitudes. Pre and post conversation, dinner conversation.
Oh, interesting. Do you notice in the ones you've done attitudes changing on both sides?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And more or less along the lines, if I had to just generalize like what you've said already, which is that it's people paying a little bit more attention to the news in subsequent days and weeks when it revolves around that particular community or whatever issues we might have talked about at the dinner table.
What's a specific stereotype that you've seen busted by this process, if you can think of one? Or an attitude that's just changed?
I don't know that I'd go so far as to say I've seen some like stereotype blown wide open, or that anybody, I mean, most people, I think their internal filter is adept enough to prevent them from just laying bare their prejudice in front of everybody.
Right.
Let's see. I'd say that certain issues I've had people come back to me and say that they've taken more of an interest in certain issues than maybe they had peripheral knowledge or understanding of before. One would be the conversation about legislation concerning homosexuality in Uganda was discussed. And I think people on both sides of that conversation kind of had to swallow hard for a minute, not really sure where that conversation was going to lead, if there was going to be anger, fireworks, whatever. But I think that the conversation went well. I'd be quick to say that you're not in the space of 90 minutes going to resolve like the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Yeah. It'd be great to just get those parties to the table, right?
To the dinner table.
Exactly. But so the idea really is to start by getting people to just see that people are human. Share an experience that you share with people in your own community on a daily basis, with someone in the community you never had contact with. And it's a point of departure, but these should not be one-off events. And just as important is when that call is over, turn to the person next to you and debrief with them. What did they get out of it? Maybe they got something completely different than you did. And this should be a call to reaching out to the divided segments of our own societies, not just looking to bridge some major cultural division
right.
across oceans and mountains.
Exactly. Eric Maddox is founder and director of the Virtual Dinner Guest Project, which can be found on Facebook. Just search for Virtual Dinner Guest Project. Are you looking for people to actually participate in the eating dinner part or watching this event with Pakistan on the 21st of January?
As far as the guest list goes, not so much. That's going to be a relatively small group of people. Now, some people might be disappointed to hear that, but I want to emphasize that everyone has a chance to participate that shows up that evening.
Yeah.
The way these things work is that we have, like, it open, basically a horseshoe sits behind the dinner table. People sit in a horseshoe arrangement and observe. And what I end up doing is at the end of each quote-unquote course, the principal participants get up, give up their seats, and allow people from the audience to sit at the table. So we kind of rotate. And then at the end, if there are people that didn't get to sit at the table, that have a burning question, we open it up for audience Q&A.
Eric Maddox, thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me.